This presentation has been previously broadcast.
This is the Drew Mariani Show. Where else can you pray with thousands of other listeners every day? Listen in to the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, where we're here for you on Relevant Radio.
Well, thanks for praying with me. Let's turn to our merciful Savior today. Let's turn to God the Father, and let's ask for some miracles for you. You know, today is the anniversary of, I think it's Catherine Drexel. I think it's her feast day today. And I remember having a man on the air with me. I'm trying to remember his name. He was with me, several years ago. He comes from Philadelphia, and his miracle brought about the canonization of St. Catherine Drexel. She was a great saint. His name was Bob Guterman. Thank you, Jake. Bob Guterman, I think was his name. He lived in North Philadelphia, and he came down with this ear infection. He was 14 years old. This happened to him when he was back a young man back in 1974, and his mother took him to a number of doctors who had to treat his ear. And because he always had these ear infections, it kept persisting, right? They could never solve the problem. He had chronic ear problems. And his brother did some work at a convent where the Sisters of the Blessed Sacrament, which Catherine Drexel actually founded. So the nuns told Bob's brother, they said, look, we believe that Catherine Drexel is in heaven. We believe that she's going to intercede for you. We believe that, you know, a miracle can happen for your brother. Why don't you turn to, you know, Blessed Catherine Drexel and ask for a miracle. Ask Catherine Drexel for this miracle. And you know me, I'm always advocating the intercession of the saints with you. I say this all the time. Let's turn to the venerables like Mazzucchelli or to Blessed Sopochko or to any of these saints who live these heroic lives. So they were convinced that she would intercede from heaven. So his brother told his mother. They told his mother and sister got together and they began to pray. Well, Bob's mother, took him to a different doctor, and the doctor said, well, he needs some exploratory surgery, which he did. And they looked into his ear and they found out that he needed three bones to properly hear. And the doctor said, you know, of the 3 years, there's three bones, there's only one. So forget it. The other two have totally disintegrated due to the infection. He'll never hear out of his right ear again. He'll never hear, never. So medically, it's impossible. So a few days after the surgery, you know, Bob told his mother that suddenly, I don't know, his ear felt fine. He could hear out of it again. And the mother said, the doctor says, you'll never hear because you don't have it. Your bone is disintegrated. There's nothing they can do. So he went back to the surgeon. The surgeon examined him. And to his amazement, to the absolute bafflement of this surgeon, there were two bones that weren't in the ear, were now in the ear. They had grown back on their own. They had miraculously regenerated. You know, they miraculously regenerated. I share the story of Padre Pio, who appeared to a man who lost his eye, that regenerated with the miracle of Our Lady of Saragossa, the boy whose leg had been amputated, and it miraculously grew back 2 years later. You know, that is absolutely amazing. Can you imagine an arm growing back? Same thing with the ears. It never happens. It was an absolute miracle. So Bob told his mother, write this down. They handed it to the Archdiocese. Rome began to investigate. It took 14 years of investigation, including visits to the doctors in Rome. But at the end, they affirmed there was no medical explanation for the regrowth of those bones in the inner ear. That became the miracle for Catherine Drexel's beatification. That was the one that led to the beatification of Catherine Drexel. So I often called on Father Seraphim, who I know was a man of heroic virtue, great proponent of the Divine Mercy message. And I'm going to call upon all the angels and saints for you right now. So join me, would you? Let's pray together through the intercession of Catherine Drexel and all those powerful saints who are in communion with God and want to intercede for you. And I want to pray for you too. I want to be an intercessor for you. I pray for you all the time. I'd ask you to do the same thing for me. Satan does not like what I do. In fact, he'd love to not see me, you know, in this chair. He'd like to thwart a lot of my other efforts, and I could use your prayers of protection too. So I'm grateful for whatever you could do. I'm joined by my colleague Preston today. It's always good to pray with him on Wednesdays. Preston, good afternoon.
Thank you for having me.
Anything you want to lift up or pray for as we start this chapel today?
And today I'll pray for my wife and her pregnancy, and just all those that are pregnant, that it's smooth going for them.
All right, and just for those who may not know your backstory, how many kids do you have?
I have seven living right now, and a one on the way.
All right. So praise God. Yeah. Let's pray for a healthy birth. All right.
All right. Thank you.
And we'll lift up your wife, your family, and I'll pray for my wife and family and for all those who I promised to pray for as well. Dr. Tabali reached out to me earlier today, and let me get to my phone if you just indulge me for a second. And he asked me to bring this intention to you. Dr. Tabali is our infectious disease doc. And he said to me today, he says, could you please pray for Timothy Green during the chaplet? He lives in Michigan. He's a classmate of his. He's a lawyer with Ford Motor. He was diagnosed with a glioblastoma about 24 years ago. He was given 6 months to live then. Now is home with on hospice. He's a faithful man. Would you pray for him? Let's put him in the hands of the Lord as we begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trusted you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, was born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Our first call this afternoon comes from Anne, listening to us in Austin, Texas. Anne, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. Thank you so much for taking my call. I'm calling regarding from my sweet mother, who's in the hospital right now, and she's very, very ill, possibly at the end of her life. And we've been praying so hard now for 2 weeks, and now the doctors don't give us very much hope at all. And we just ask God for a miracle, if it's his will, to please heal her like they've been praying so hard for. And we would love to have more time with her, but we know it's not our will, and we're not ready to give her up and for her to go to heaven. But I know she loves the Lord, and we just pray for strength and her healing. And if it's the Lord's will to have a peaceful transition, to please just take her peacefully, because we know she loves God.
Yeah, you know, Anne, such a beautiful prayer. You're such a beautiful witness. I went through the same thing with the passing of my own father. I don't want to let him go. We don't want to let you don't want to let your mother go. And yet you are submitting yourself to God's will. We know that we're all created to live forever. We're going to be united perfectly one day. But I want to pray for you too, and for the struggle that you're now going through. Lord, I give you those who mourn, those who are watching those that they love approach the threshold of death. And I don't know your will. I never limit you, Father. I just ask, if it is your will for a miraculous healing, a complete reversal, if it means a few more months or a few more years with Anne and her family. But Lord, if this is the time that you're calling your daughter home, then I just ask for peace to come over the family. And I just ask that you come and you meet her mother as a merciful Savior. And I pray for all those now who are approaching death. And I pray in particular for the hour of our own death. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Gary is praying with us in Charleston City, Iowa. Gary, thanks for praying. Good afternoon.
Thank you, Drew, for taking my call. I just have three prayer intentions. One is for my wife, Ann, who's going to have hip surgery. And my brother-in-law, Pat, in St. Louis, has got esophageal cancer, dealing with that. And my son's father-in-law is in ICU with heart issues. I'd like to have prayers for them. And thank you for everything that you do.
No, you got it. Well, thank you, Gary. We're going to pray for your wife right now. My wife and I are in a novena with another couple, and we join each other at night, so I'm going to remember you in that novena tonight, too. So pray
thank
for
you
your wife's surgery, for success.
Thank
there.
You
got it. Lord, I give you Gary and all these intentions he just voiced. I pray for those. With cancer in particular, that's a reoccurring intention, and I know there are many stages and forms of it, and I just ask for your mercy for anyone now that's crying out to you with this plea for cancer. I pray for his brother-in-law. I pray for his wife. I pray for all those with knee and hip, joint replacements, those facing surgery for healing. I give you every intention he voiced. And I give you the body with all of the aches and pains and concerns that so many have and all the temporal needs that so many have. And Heavenly Father, I turn to you now and I just ask for resolution, for very visible, very merciful manifestations of your love. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Joanne is listening and praying with us in Texas. Joanne, welcome. It's good to have you here today.
Thank you. Thanks for taking my call. I have a sister that has congestive heart failure that needs a lot of prayers for longevity. I have another half-sister who is terminally ill, and she's very tired right now in her last stage. Her granddaughter is 9 years old and has a brain tumor, and it's affecting her motor skills, and she's beat cancer twice, but this is her third time, and she has like three transfusions a week, and it's taking a lot on, you know, it's hard on her little body. Right. And then I have another great niece who she has an eating disorder. It's not anything that, you know, she has stomach problems, and she's afraid to eat because she, you know, it's anyhow, she said, and they're going to be taking her to Mayo. And then I have two very close friends, Lisa and Kelly, who both have cancer, that are in need of prayers for healing.
Thank you very much. You got it. Lots of cancer, huh? That's unbelievable. Yeah. It really is. Well, let's pray. I want to pray for those who have eating disorders. I want to pray for those who have body dysmorphic problems, issues, body dysmorphia. I want to pray for those who self-mutilate and cut, those with anorexia, those with bulimia. Lord, I just want to pray for those with mental illness. I'm going to pray for cancer. I want to pray for all those intentions that were just voiced. And again, so many crosses, so many people bear. In your mercy, please hear the cries of your faithful children. Alleviate these heavy burdens. Bring about healing. Bring about conversion. I also pray for the spiritual needs of so many who are now crying out, Lord, where their faith is weak, where their hope is gone, where the anxiety is high. I just ask that your love and mercy prevail. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our next call comes from Ellen. She's listening in Allentown, Wisconsin. Hi, Ellen. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
My prayer intentions today are for my nephew, Dan, who has gone through shoulder surgery, kidney stones, emergent heart surgery, and now he has to go through more kidney stone treatments. So healing for him. And then our dear friend, Steve, who has had numerous surgeries on his ankle, and they are close to needing to amputate it.
Wow.
So we're praying for healing for him.
All right. Well, let's pray against that amputation for sure right now. And Ellen, I want to pray for all your needs. I know you probably have many. I just want to lift them up to the Lord. Lord, I give you this beautiful soul praying for her nephew, praying for her friend. Again, we give you those with heart issues. I want to pray for Father Michael Brennan, too. He's the rector of the National Shrine of St. Joseph. He just came very powerfully to mind. I want to pray for him. And I want to lift up in particular anyone with heart issues, anybody who's facing amputation, those diabetics that also are concerned about that. Lord, I give you the body. Today seems to be the day we're praying for healing. And I just really ask for many miracles to take place in this area. So I give you those intentions. And I know your children here are uniting their hearts and crying out to you for those needs that they have. So again, I invoke your great mercy as I pray, Eternal Father. I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
You know, as I'm praying here, I just my heart was filled with a joy, and I just wanted to thank God for this ability to pray with you like this. I mean, this is such an anointed time of prayer. I feel the Holy Spirit so often when I pray like this, and I'm just so grateful for this chaplet and our time together. I know God hears our united prayers. I want you to have faith that God's going to work that situation out for you. Let's go to San Marcos, Texas. Next, Shirley has been waiting. Hi, Shirley.
Hi, thanks for calling. But I have a healing Thanksgiving prayer. I had surgery this past Monday on my kneecap. They removed my metals that I had attached because I broke my kneecap in half in October last year. Mm-hmm. And they was giving me problems, so they removed it. And I pray the divine mercy every day. And I prayed it before I had surgery. And I prayed the rosary. I have a lot of faith. And God is so good. I had a miracle. The doctor couldn't believe it. My knee bones got all connected together. When they pulled the metal, they thought it wasn't going to be healed, but it's healed now.
Well, Shirley, you called the chaplain, didn't you, a couple of weeks ago? I thought I remembered to call.
Yes.
Good. Well, I'm glad we prayed for you. Go ahead.
Thank God. Divine mercy and rosary for me is something real special for me.
Oh, I'm with you.
And he couldn't believe it. When they removed my metal, they said they couldn't believe my knee had gotten healed. The fractured where it broke got healed.
Yeah. I remember how concerned you were. I do. I remember your call.
I had two kiddos, and I want to pray for my two kiddos that we're hopefully going to adopt them. We're foster parents.
You're such a good person. Well, look, let's pray in Thanksgiving, Shirley. I'm so happy. We'll pray for all your needs, too. I know you have them, but I remember your call, how concerned you were because you were a foster parent, and we prayed. And I love the fact that the doctors are amazed at your recovery, and that's how God works. He hears these prayers. I am so convinced of it. Miracles happen large, and they happen small, and they happen in all sorts of ways. And I just want to pray for your continued healing, Shirley, and just to give thanks for that successful surgery you had. And Lord, I give you now the needs, the wants, the desires, the intentions of everyone who is united with me in prayer. I pray for those who are struggling right now with their faith. I want to pray for those who are contemplating abortion. those who are thinking about terminating or taking their own lives. I want to pray for those who are sick. I want to pray for the addicted. I want to pray for those who have impure relationships and who are addicted to sexual impurity. I want to pray for troubled marriages. I want to pray for those who are abused and really for their abusers. Lord, I just want to give to you the sick, the sorrowful, the confused, those who need your mercy now. And I bring your children together. I intercede for everyone as we pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escrivá,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopochko,
pray for us.
St. Catherine Drexel,
pray for us.
Venerable Samuel Mazzucchelli,
pray for us.
Father Seraphim,
pray for us.
All you holy souls in purgatory,
pray for us.
All you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Thank you.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
Father, read the black, do the red. Hi, this is Father Rocky with our 13th Lenten lesson on the Mass. Yes, that's what she said. Read the black, do the red. The red she referred to are the rubrics in the Roman Missal, or the reddish color of the ink for the directions on how to celebrate Mass. After the Gloria, here's what the rubrics state. Quote, when the Gloria is concluded, the priest with hands joined says,
let us pray.
And all pray in silence with the priest for a while. During that little while, you can pray for family, friends, relatives, a child who's seriously ill, a new job for vocations, the Pope, upcoming elections, relevant radio, whatever. After that moment of silence, the priest prays the opening prayer, also known as the collect, and it's usually centered on the theme of the Mass, whether it be a saint or a season or a solemnity of the Lord.
One of the three pillars of Lent is prayer. So make this your best Lent yet by joining Father Rocky for the Family Rosary Across America every evening at 7 p.m. Central on Relevant Radio.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Dr. Seuss essentially has been canceled.
They want to cancel Dr. Seuss.
Dr. Seuss should not be canceled in your home.
There's no place that they won't go. They're canceling Dr. Seuss from reading programs. I mean, these are books. I literally know The Cat in the Hat by heart without the book there.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Think of those books that maybe you read or you read to your kids or your grandkids. Think about the movies that are out there. Ugh! Can I just shout? Can I moan and groan? I am so sick of this cancel culture. And this might be news to you. If it is, I'll fill you in on all the details. It really is. It's bizarre. I mean, that's the best word for it. You probably have heard. The story's been reported for a couple of days that they've canceled Dr. Seuss. Dr. Seuss is being canceled by the cancel culture. The foundation that publishes his books announced on his birthday, which has been designated as Read Across America Day, you know what? We're going to stop publishing six of his books, including And to Think I Saw It on Mulberry Street, because of what they consider to be, now listen to this, racist undertones. Racist undertones in Dr. Seuss? NBC News, they'll explain why some of his books are actually taken off the safe list. You can let me know if you agree with this decision. Listen.
While many of his books are beloved for their zany characters,
but the Cat in the Hat.
Today's decision to stop publishing six Dr. Seuss books comes after they've been criticized for spreading racist images. For example, the book, And to Think That I Saw It on Mulberry Street, a character described as Chinese, has two lines for eyes. And in If I Ran the Zoo, two characters portraying people from Africa are shown shirtless, shoeless, and wearing grass skirts. In a statement, Dr. Seuss Enterprises said, working with a panel of experts and educators, the decision was made last year because these books portray people in ways that are hurtful and wrong. The reaction was mixed, some tweeting, to publishers, it's never too late to review your books. Every day, there's a new woke story about something getting canceled.
What does this say about what's happening in society right now?
Society is recognizing the ills of the past and attempting to move beyond that.
Columbia University professor Chris Emden says he'll still let his daughter read other Dr. Seuss books.
And she sees an image in it that looks like her. It won't be one that's behind the walls of a zoo.
All right. Look, we can certainly talk about it. I understand the argument that's being made. But where do we draw the line? I mean, I never thought twice. I never thought once about Dr. Seuss being, you know, a racist book. Never. Never in a million years. Maybe all this emphasis of banning these types of books is only focusing, you know, more attention on it. Maybe we're doing more harm than good. You got to remember, if you look back over your history, 4 years ago, this comes about 4 years after our first black president, President Barack Obama, consistently praised the writings of Theodore Seuss. I think what's his last name, Jake? Giselle or Giselle, I think. I forget what his last name was. Seuss was his middle name. That's where he comes up with Dr. Seuss. That's Dr. Seuss's real name. I think it's Giselle. Anyway, there are many times during, you know, the term of the Obama administration that he and his wife, you know, they read Dr. Seuss publicly. They read the book publicly. In fact, I saw one report earlier today that as recently as 2018, he said, most of what you need to learn, you can actually just read Dr. Seuss. It's all pretty much there. But look, that's not good enough. That's not good enough for people who believe in critical race theory. And that's what this is all about. So what happens? Dr. Seuss and his books, six of them, have been canceled. And guess who was behind this as well? Yeah, the president. President Joe Biden dropped all of Dr. Seuss's books from a recommended reading list for Read Across America Day. Well, I think this is silly. I really do. I think it's silly. As parents and educators, I'm hoping that you are raising your children, you're instilling good moral values into them. You're teaching them that prejudice is wrong. But to go into a classic like that and now ban it, that's horrible. Ben Shapiro, at the Daily Wire, he offered commentary on this decision. He added that Dr. Seuss's books are just, you know, just another in a long, long list of things that are actually being canceled.
No, there are no human beings who read Dr. Seuss books and are actually angry at them. All of this is just about signaling. It is about setting new standards, hoops for people to jump through. And if you ask for any sort of context that provides whether the book is racist, whether it is racist for to read If I Ran the Zoo, because there are people of Asiatic appearance in the book If I Ran the Zoo. If you even ask even the question is racist. If you say, okay, well, you know, he drew that in 1940, and let's just say that it was insensitive in 1940. Has any child read this in the last 20, 30, 40 years and come away with a bad impression of people from Japan because they read a Dr. Seuss book? To ask that question is to be the problem, because now you are asking for evidence of a claim that is by nature a claim that is rooted solely in feelings. So how did the Dr. Seuss Foundation respond to this? Not by defending their guy. Of course not. Instead, the official organization that controls the legacy of Dr. Seuss said it will no longer sell six of the author's children's books over racist and insensitive depictions, including his very first major book, And to Think That I Saw It on Mulberry Street. I can't even remember what is supposed to be racist, And to Think That I Saw It on Mulberry Street. If I Ran the Zoo and McGilligan's Pool. By the way, I own all of them. You should buy them today. They're great for your kids.
Well, and to his point about buying them, I saw a story earlier today. The price of Dr. Seuss books, they're skyrocketing. Amazon, eBay, all the places where you're trying to buy them, prices are jacked because you're not going to be able to get them again. And people say, hey, I love these. These are classics. I think he's right. I mean, when has someone read these books and come away and suddenly had this sense of prejudice against somebody, as he points out, from Japan? It's silly. We're in a cancel culture. This is all part of a much larger narrative. Sarah Haynes of The View, I don't know if you watch that show, or you're familiar with it at all. She argued that, look, there is some middle ground that that should be reached in all this.
Cancel culture is when you eliminate him and all the good work he did, which was like President Biden removed him from Read Across America Day completely. There are a lot of works Dr. Seuss did that were good, that he's praised for. So I think in general that we need to teach these examples as they were, not whitewash them, not eliminate or erase them, but put disclaimers out there. We teach young people often to idolize historical figures and people that have done work, and that's inaccurate. We're all flawed. Our heroes are often flawed. And I think it'd be better to teach both, to show the great works of Dr. Seuss, but also include that disclaimers that some of his work was considered racially inappropriate, insensitive. And I think that's the way to go. Recently, right. I watched a movie with the kids, and there was a caption at the beginning that said, some of these characters have been falsely depicted, but it allowed the work to remain in history, with extreme examples being the exception. I agree with those books being taken out.
All right, we can talk about it. If you want to join me, too, it's 888-914-9149. I'd love to get your take on this. Are you concerned about how the cancel culture is going to affect you, or how it's going to affect somebody that you love? You know, how far does critical race theory go? Huh? And that's really what this is all about. It's about cancel culture. It's about critical race theory. You know, we just learned that the Arizona's education department is recommending to parents that they start telling their children about racism. Now, get this. I couldn't believe it, and I actually had to laugh out loud when this came up in a meeting this morning. I still find this so silly. Let me be careful the words I use. It's so silly. It's so ridiculous. The Arizona education department is recommending, and shame on you, Arizona. Sorry for everyone who's living there right now. They're recommending that parents start telling their children about racism at the age of 3 months old. You heard me. 3 months old. I have five kids. 3 months old, you're going to start talking about complicated issues like racism, critical race theory. At 3 months old, like, your kid's not even speaking. I mean, your child's not, there's no sentences. What are you talking about? Start talking to your kids about racism. 3 months old. Why not two? Huh? Why not right out of the womb? I don't understand the logic behind that. So they developed a graphic timeline, and they're telling parents fundamentally how they think children should be educated on racism at each stage of their development. And this was part of it. 3 months. Start talking about it. Fortunately, there is some sanity in our culture. Some people are fighting back against all of this. William Clark is a biracial high school senior in Las Vegas. And at the very start of the school year, the school introduced a civics class. And the class decreed that his skin color, gender, sexuality, religious beliefs, they determined whether or not William is privileged and an oppressor, or whether he's a victim, or he's the oppressed, if you will, if I was to carry that all the way out. So let me just restate that so you get it. He goes into this class, and they're trying to tell the kids, based on the pigment of their skin, again, their gender, their sexuality, their religious beliefs, How do you like that? They're religious beliefs. Whether or not you are privileged and an oppressor, or whether or not you're a victim and a victim of oppression, right? So here's the deal with this kid. I love this kid. I should get him on the air. He is half black, right? His skin color is actually light. So even though he is half black, he's being framed as an oppressor because of his skin color. So what is it? You know, if I'm half white and half black, what am I, an oppressor or the oppressed? Am I privileged or am I underprivileged? So he's fighting against this in court. I hope he prevails. I really do. It's just silly. Absolutely. It's ridiculous. And look, I'm not here to bring you down. I'm trying to just raise awareness for him. I'm trying to put this on your radar. Because I know, you know, you have loved ones that have kids. You probably have kids. Maybe you got grandkids. I don't know. They're growing up in this culture. And we need rationality. You know, we need reason to prevail. We need common sense. That's the problem that we are encountering today, is a real loss of that. I'm joined today by Joe Grabowski. He's the spokesman for the International Organization for Family, and I'm delighted to have him here with me. We'll take a few of your calls here in just a quick second. Joe, good to have you back. Good afternoon.
Thanks, Drew. Thanks for having me on.
So, so much to talk about. Dr. Seuss being canceled, you know, sharing the story about this young man who's, you know, trying to be defined as privileged or underprivileged. Let's talk a little bit about what we're encountering here. Your thoughts first on Dr. Seuss being canceled, and how far do we go with both this cancel culture and this whole, you know, gender, this critical race theory, as we're now seeing? A couple different things here, but I'd love your big picture view.
Sure. Well, I think it's a very, doubtful course that the left is taking with cancel culture, because as I've stated in the past, and I keep trying to remind people, the only thing that happens when you, even if we grant that there are certain ideologies here that are problematic that they are targeting, even if that's a laudable goal, by forcing it underground, all you do is cause those ideologies to thrive. Yeah. And they thrive now without exposure to the daylight, without exposure to the light of day. And the ideal in a free democracy, this goes back to de Tocqueville and really earlier, the idea is that we debate our ideas in the public square, and thereby we arrive at a better truth for our culture. We arrive at the truth through reasoned discourse. So that's what I would like to see happen. Unfortunately, that does not seem to be the direction that the left wants to take.
And I'm concerned. We're canceling Dr. Seuss, right? How far will it go? That's always what I want to look at. I mean, how far down the road? What's looming around the bend? If we go down this path, where does it ultimately lead? I saw a story the other day that there are concerns that Amazon is going to drop the Bible. They're going to drop the Bible, one of the best-selling books in the world, because they might consider it hate speech. You know, I know you know Ryan Anderson, his book on transgenderism and what happened there. Mm-hmm. And now you got Arizona telling parents, hey, you got to educate your 3-month-old about racism. I don't know how much more zany this can get. But where does this ultimately lead? And what do you think is going to be in the crosshairs next? Something like the Bible? Could that be banned from Amazon?
It could, absolutely. And unfortunately, that seems to be the direction people want to go in. And, it is one of the ironies. Ryan's a good friend of mine. And to see his book removed, and it was confirmed by several people, including the editors of his book, by going to Amazon, that Mein Kampf was still for sale. You should read Hitler's ideological tome, but you couldn't download or buy on Audible, you know, Ryan's book critiquing transgender ideology. Mm. So, you know, it really is, it's not about fairness. It's not about trying to have more equity in society. It is about winners and losers. And Amazon and other big tech tyrants are simply picking the winners based on the winds of the day. The danger they have to fear is what happens when the worm turns and the same kinds of things come back. That's why we need free speech, and we need free speech protected in this country. That's what the lawsuit in Nevada that you mentioned is all about. And that's right. Why it's really important that people learn about these things and support them.
Well, look, when we come back, let's take a few calls. If you're on hold, do my very best to get you on the air. I'd love to hear from you. You can join us anytime. 888 914 9149. I'm joined by the executive director for the International Organization Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the relevant radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
The Cat in the Hat by Dr. Seuss.
They want to cancel Dr. Seuss.
Dr. Seuss should not be canceled in your home.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, too bad. Dr. Seuss is being canceled. The cost of the books are skyrocketing as people are trying to wrap copies of what is a classic. Good afternoon. I'm Drew Mariani. It's good to be back here with you today. We're taking a look at the cancel culture. Six of Dr. Seuss's books won't be published. Why? Supposedly for racist images. That's why. Joe Biden, they just canceled them from his reading list as well. And I'm talking about a lot of different things. Amazon, there's a number of stories out there. You know, we know how they treated the former president when it came to censorship. You know, what happened with the president on Twitter, it may look tame compared to what Amazon.com wants to do. And they're changing the rules on books. And, you know, talk about book banning. You might see the Bible banned. You may actually see the Bible banned, as my guest Joe Grabowski was pointing out. But there's another case, too, here. And it's something that's important to look at. And I'm going to ask you to pray about it. And, of course, stay informed on it. It's the story of a young high school student. He's a senior in Las Vegas. His name's William Clark. And his case is now going to court. You know, at the start of the very school year, the school introduced a civics class that decrees that skin color and gender and your religious beliefs and your sexuality and all these different things determine whether you're privileged or not, whether you're an oppressor or not. And that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of. So this has gone to court. I'm joined today by somebody who's involved with the case. That's Joe Grabowski, spokesperson for the International Organization for the Family. If you want more information on that story, too, by the way, the website is schoolhouserights.org. It's well worth checking out. And Joe, before we jump into the phones, I just want to follow up on that story. What are the long-term ramifications of this if he does not prevail? I mean, what are the grounds William and his mother are bringing for their suit against the school district? And, you know, what has he said about how this is affecting, you know, his own relationship at school and big picture, too? What's it mean for the country?
Well, what it means for the country is, if God forbid they do not prevail, is that we'll see this kind of curriculum spread throughout other school districts, and other students will face the same plight as William. And William, though his mother is biracial, and so he's a quarter black himself, identifies as white on forms and things. But anybody can think of when they fill out forms where races are given, there's always the option to prefer not to answer. Well, in his case, his teachers made them answer. They had to identify themselves, not only whether they're white, but also their religion and their sexual orientation, and then sort of grade themselves by levels of privileged or oppressed, which the school also gave them guidance on what identifies as privileged, including white and Christian as inherently privileged categories. There's a lot of Christians worldwide today who disagree with that classification, incidentally. But this is the kind of dangerous ideology we can see spreading if William's First Amendment and Fourth Amendment claims do not prevail in the district court. Fortunately, we're very positive in our outlook on the case. And as you mentioned, people can learn more at schoolhouserights.org and also donate to support William and his mother in their legal trials.
All right, let's go to the phones. We'll take a few calls for you, Joe. Susie has got a question for you. Susie, good afternoon. You're on the air with Joe Grabowski.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Just wondering if you could explain what critical race theory means for the layman's term.
Sounds great, thanks. All right, Joe, go right ahead.
Yeah, very briefly, critical theory is a school of thought that arose, it's also sometimes called the Frankfurt School, but it arose out of Marxist ideology and Freudian psychology in the middle of the 20th century. And basically what it says is that individuals are completely determined and conditioned by their social roles. It's all based on that kind of Marxist outlook of constant class warfare. that you're primarily identified not by who you are, not by your character or anything like that, but the role that you inhabit in society. And if that role is on the side of the oppressor and the privileged, well, then you better look out. Because, of course, we know from our Marxism that revolution is on its way to overtake us. Right. So that's basically what critical theory is. It's a repackaging of Marxism into commentaries on race and religion and things like that.
Right. And they make the case, I mean, those who are behind CRT, this critical race theory, that they believe it emerges from, you know, economic and social and kind of legal differences that white people have, that because their skin color, it creates between races this separation of elite, right? Elite white interests in labor markets and politics, and thus giving, you know, rise to poverty and criminality amongst those who are supposedly oppressed. And the origins of this, where did this come from? This come from the academic world, I'm assuming. I mean, this has really become, you know, very present today, Joe. I understand the origins of it. I understand it and how it's being used. But how long has this been around?
It's been with us now for about probably 70 years, maybe arguably a little longer. But again, it arises within the academic context. There's this group called the Frankfurt School. And that's kind of where the ideas originally took off. And again, it's just straight up Marxism, if you look at the origins of it. So class warfare is really central to it.
All right, let's grab a couple quick more calls. Deb is listening in Fort Myers, Florida. Deb, welcome.
Hi, thanks. I guess for me, I'm just wondering, like, to what end? At what point? How you can't erase history. You can learn from it, though. And if it offends you, that's a good thing. I mean, I just read that. It's a good thing if it offends you because you never want to repeat it. None of the bad stuff. So, to what end, though? Dr. Seuss, seriously? I have three grown children, and they're fine. They don't even see color.
I know. It's silly. Doctor, that's the... that's the big question everybody has. I mean, where does it end? I mean, it seems so ridiculous on the surface when you look at some of the things that are now being canceled and then some of the things that they want to implement, like teaching a three-month-old about this type of stuff. Maybe the question to ask is not where it ends, but what can we do to bring rationality, reason, and I guess some common sense back to the culture? How do we do that?
Well, I think one of the ways that we do that is simply by being vigilant and watching where this kind of stuff is getting to our children, maybe without our knowledge. So to watch the curricula they're being instructed with in schools, to watch their consumption of media and different things that they're getting at on the internet. And that's really the best thing that we can do in the first place is keep it out of our own homes. And other than that, we can pray and find like-minded individuals and try to form some kind of conservative resistance.
Amen. Brenda's listening to us in California. Brenda, thanks for joining us. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. I just wanted to say that it's sad that Biden's having this evil agenda, and I'm not surprised. I had a licensed childcare for about 20 years, so Dr. Seuss was one of our favorite books to read, and also, you know, I'd read the children's Bible to them and say our daily prayers, and it's really scary because, you know, the way this world is going, what we really need to do is have the parents pray with the baby in the womb, the rosary, the divine mercy, read the Bible so that these little ones can be our great new future and be strong in faith and just have God first in our world. And I think that Biden wants everybody to hate one another, to bring it up and have that hatred in their mind. So, again, we just have to continue to pray and trust in God and teach our children in the womb and bless them and stay close to our
Brenda,
Lord.
Thank you so much. Joe, I'm going to give you the final thoughts here, too, because we have a minute before I have to take another break. So go right ahead.
Thanks, Drew. Yeah, I'll just say that, again, this is sort of one of the central messages of critical race theory that we always want to be on guard of, which is that we always have to be a conflict, right? That's one of the ideas of Marxism. There has to be constant conflict. So what we need to do is be peacemakers and pray for peace. That's the gospel message.
Always grateful for your time and for your insight and for joining us today. Check out schoolhouserights.org. That's the website to learn more about all that's now unfolding. In this case, in particular, Joe Grabowski is also the spokesman for the International Organization for the Family.
It's so very encouraging to hear from our listeners who benefit from our programming. I want to invite you to join the St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. Your ongoing monthly gift is a gift that keeps on giving.
Learn more at relevantradio.com/Joseph.